thank you for joining us for tonight's Comic Book Club! And now, here are your hosts, Pete LePage, Justin Tyler, and Alex Salmon!
Unbelievable!
Yeah, yeah.
Yes! Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Pete.
I'm Justin.
And that's our man in the booth, Boothman!
More in a corner.
Yeah, corner man.
Corner man.
Booth.
Nobody puts Boothman in the corner.
Oh, great. We always start the show, for those of you just new, with a Dirty Dancing quote.
Right.
That's a common one.
Yeah, the rest of the show is basically just a reenactment of Dirty Dancing.
Yep, ready? One, two. No, oh.
Oh,
wait. Are you saying you were baby?
I'm baby.
No, you're not. I'm baby.
Nobody puts baby in the corner.
I'm embarrassed.
Guys, this is our first show here at Pianos. It's our first show for the Nerdist channel. What? Yep. I said Pianos wrong.
Yes. I love the way you said
Piano.
All right.
Piano.
All right. Anyway, this is our first show here.
Give me that mic. That's better.
Thank you. Very loose show, you guys. Very exciting. So we thought, since this is our first time here, we would kind of reintroduce ourselves. We've been doing this live for five years. We'd reintroduce ourselves to you guys here in the live audience, you guys watching at home on the Nerdist channel or listening at home.
Yeah.
So why don't we go down and say something that we've never said on the show before.
What?
Oh.
Something that we've never said in 5 years.
Deeply embarrassing.
Yeah, deeply embarrassing. Beat, you want to go
That'll
first?
That'll be easy for you.
I love how I get to go first. All right, cool.
You're the most embarrassing.
Yeah. Thank you. I would say an embarrassing thing from my childhood is that I used to play My Little Ponies with my cousin, and I liked it.
You would make your cousin play with you?
No. I would have to go over, when all of our families were hanging out, I would have to play with the cousins, and I was
the
like,
Care Bear cousins?
Yeah, the Care Bear cousins.
Are they girls?
Yeah, they had little things on their chest.
And, right.
Yeah. You know, there's a term for that. It's brony.
Yeah, you're a brony.
I'm not a brony. I'm not a brony.
You're totally
all right,
a brony.
Come on, I'm hanging out in the breeze.
Okay,
it's your
all right,
turn.
All right, I'll tell you my thing.
Sure.
This is, I think, probably pretty embarrassing. I don't think I've ever told you guys this before. When I was a kid, I used to play Dungeons and Dragons.
That's not that bad.
By myself.
Wow. Nice.
Is that possible?
How would that even work?
How did that work?
Were you very strict on yourself and the rules? Like, you know, Alex, you can't do that.
Yeah, I'm sorry, you're dead. And I'd be like, my character.
Did you set up action figures around the room that you could somehow do voices of?
No, this is the worst part. I did it when I was supposed to be doing homework, and I was done with my homework, so I had it hidden in my desk.
When you're done with your homework,
it's in the desk drawer. Oh, like a troll playing Dungeons and Dragons.
Oh.
I got real
that's
good
what you
at
are.
It.
You're a troll.
You get good at solo
Dungeons
and Dragons.
I'm sure.
My first girlfriend. Julie.
I don't believe
this story.
Well, hold on. It gets much worse. Working. I'll give you a full count tonight. You may add one to it tonight. So let's see.
Oh,
you ready?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool. Well, when I kissed her, I quoted the "They Might Be Giants" song, and I said, "I'd ask you if you don't mind if I could kiss you 100 times." And then I kissed her. She was like, "What?"
That is embarrassing.
That's hilarious.
It was embarrassing.
Did it work out in the long run? Are you still together?
Yeah, we're still together.
What's
so
awesome.
One?
All right,
there you now go. They Might Be Giants, guys. I'm very excited about the show we have tonight. I'm very excited about the two guests that we have here. One of them is a man of action. He's one of the writers on Ultimate Spider-Man that is playing this Saturday on Disney XD, among a million other things we're going to talk about. The other one you've seen on 30 Rock. He has way more hats than you do. Ladies and gentlemen, Joe Kelly and Judah Friedlander!
Yeah!
Oh, my goodness, you guys. Thank you so much for coming on the show. We're very excited to have you guys here.
Yeah, thanks,
just open
man.
A beer?
Yeah. There are drinks on the stage.
Yeah, we can deal with this. So, Judah, let's chat with you.
Hey, everybody.
You first.
How you doing?
Woo!
Guys,
first of all, you wrote this book, How to Beat Up Anybody.
Yeah. It's
How do you beat up anybody?
Well, you got to read the book, you know.
Salesman.
There are many different types of creatures. I teach you how to beat up Bigfoots and ninjas and all kinds of things in the book. You know?
Did you have to research the book a lot?
Well, this through my life. This was actually filmed from a camera from the future that went back in time. Wow. And filmed me fighting Bigfoots and ninjas and all kinds of things.
So this is a documentary book.
It is, yeah. Everything's real, dude.
Nonfiction, I think, is the word for that.
No, it's a documentary book.
No, it's a documentary. He said it was
filmed. It's the first time there's ever been pictures of Bigfoot in focus. And that's because Bigfoots, you know, they exist and... They're in 48 of 50 states. A lot of people don't realize that. And because of deforestation, Bigfoot attacks are more common now because they're being forced out of the woods and into suburbs and even the cities.
This is probably the wrong question to ask, but what two states are they not in?
I'm not going to tell you.
Otherwise, those people would rest easy.
Yeah. You know. Yeah. And sometimes they switch around.
They know no borders.
You know, Delaware is a small state. You know, they can move right into Maryland or PA at a quick second. You know, they're very fast, Bigfoot. Yeah. They can jump 300 feet distance.
What?
Seriously?
Oh, wow, like John Carter.
Yeah.
Wait, was John Carter a Sasquatch?
Or interesting.
No, and Sasquatch is different than a Bigfoot.
Oh, in your face.
I don't teach you how to beat up a Sasquatch in this, because a Bigfoot is more difficult to beat up than a Sasquatch. And Bigfoots, in case anyone's interested, Bigfoots are American.
Sasquatches
are Canadian. Yeah, they're not as tough. Yeah. And 95% of Bigfoots are left-handed. You probably didn't know that.
No, I think we knew
book,
that.
Dude.
Yeah.
It's all in my book. No, it's Bigfoot, sir. It's Bigfoot.
Yeah, just don't correct the people on
stage. Good question. Yeah. On topic, provocative. Well,
no, that's
done.
An actual Bigfoot in the audience.
Our audience is actually all Bigfoots.
Yeah, and one Sasquatch who came down from Canada. Thank you for coming.
And a lot of people don't know this, but do you know what the national sport is for Bigfoots?
No.
I would guess like a Giants version of soccer, but no.
Well, that is exactly what you would think, and... What Bigfoots are best at, besides karate, is deception. So the obvious answer would be soccer, but it's actually basketball. And in here, I don't know if you can see it, but I actually
hold it up.
Have a whole section on how to dunk on a Bigfoot.
Wow.
Because that is their national sport.
Oh, wow.
And that is one of the really best ways to humiliate a Bigfoot is to beat him in his national game.
Not only do you dunk on him, you, like, wreck him.
And I don't recommend killing a Bigfoot because they're big, and it's a lot of work, and it takes a lot of time. The best way to defeat a Bigfoot is to put a human sneaker onto a Bigfoot after you've incapacitated him, because that's the most humiliating thing you can do to a Bigfoot, is put a human shoe on him, and then other Bigfoots will find him and rape and kill him for a period of 6 weeks before he actually dies, because it's a disgrace.
Man, what an interesting culture they have.
Yeah. And this is pretty interesting, but can you tell us something we don't know about Bigfoots?
Yes, seriously.
That's a good point.
Once they have those sneakers on, they get jobs like on Wall Street and the MTA.
Well, you know, I am known as the world champion, and... I think I've done something here that no comic book superhero has ever done. I've written an instructional book on how to stay safe instead of just asking people to worship you. You know, I'm
let's be honest, Batman has like half a novel finished on his laptop that he just won't get to.
Yeah, you know, Spider-Man never wrote a karate book. Batman never did, you know.
Can we?
I don't have a secret identity. I'm just me, you know. I don't need to hide, you know.
It's brave of you.
Yeah. Champ,
especially with all this anti-Bigfoot propaganda.
Right, that's been going around.
No, most Bigfoots are peaceful creatures, but, you know, every society has their douchebags, and Bigfoots are no exception. I'm sorry, I didn't know we were going to go off on a Bigfoot rant, but, you know.
No, that's all the show is about.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
Got to stay on message.
I like
Bigfoot Club.
Bigfoot Book Club. That's fine.
This is the only book we've ever encountered. So
there we go. We don't know what this is or how this works. Let's move on and talk about something that you pretty famously for the comic community did on 30 Rock. And I don't know if this is ambushing you at all.
Yeah, no, not really. But I didn't even really know so much about the controversy until after it happened.
Yeah, for those of you who didn't watch it, Judah, on an episode of 30 Rock, deep fried an issue of Avengers Academy number 8, I think.
Ooh.
Yeah. And what was the reaction
It was to show my love for my TV girlfriend, Lynn Onkman, who was played by Susan Sarandon.
Yeah.
I was trying to show her that I was becoming mature, and I was, you know, mature enough to have a relationship, so I was getting rid of my past and moving forward. So that was, you know, that was a good choice to use, you know.
Would you recommend that strategy?
Yeah. Deep frying your problems?
No, I don't. I actually am the opposite. I'm like, I don't hide things. I'm like, I am who I am. And, you know, if someone's going to like you, they should just like you. You know, you shouldn't try to hide things. You know, if someone doesn't like you because you're, you know, if you're into comic books, then that's not the right person for you. You know, it's, you know, they should like you for who you are. So, so I wouldn't do that. Yeah. That's a great glass of water.
And that's a good message for.
That is how you get to be the world champion.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. And the, I did not pick out that comic book. It was the props department who did. Okay. And I believe it was Kevin Ladson who did it. And he definitely is a big comic book guy. So he knew what he was doing.
He chose it because he's a fan, perhaps.
Yeah.
That was actually going to be the next question. We had the writer of Avengers Academy, when we announced you were going to be on the show, wrote in wondering if you had selected it at random or if someone
I didn't. It was given to me. And
you can actually see the tear stains on his Twitter. So I don't know.
Yeah, it's weird. I don't know how he did that.
That's really hard to do. Yeah. Wow.
Something like that.
I'll give him a big hug or something, man.
That would be great. And, of course, you were in American Splendor.
That's based on a comic book series, and that was we filmed that about 10 years ago. That was great, you know, because I got to play a different kind of role.
Yeah.
You know, showbiz always tries to typecast you, so it was great to play totally, you know, do the chameleon thing, you know, because when I got cast in that movie, I looked like this, but, you know, so I had to, you know, cut off my hair, color my hair, and, you know, walk different, talk different, all that stuff. So it was a great experience.
Did you hesitate at all to do it?
No, I wanted to do that. I like doing that. Yeah, before I did 30 Rock, I probably did about 25 movies, and I would do the whole chameleon thing a lot, and I really liked doing that. And movies are fun because I've done some big Hollywood movies, but most of the movies I've done are indie movies, and they usually take about, 5 weeks to film. So, you know, you go and escape and become someone else for a month, and you forget about your problems, and you take on someone else's problems. So it's kind of like a vacation from yourself and getting to know someone else who you inhabit, you know. And so then I stand-up has always been my main thing. I've been doing that since 89. And, pretty much every night. And so when you do a movie, it's like, okay, you know, for American Splendor, I didn't do any stand-up during that because it was just so intense. You know, it was very heavy acting. And so it was a busy schedule, so there wasn't time to do any. And then you know, I get back to my life. But when 30 Rock came around, I never planned on doing a TV show, but the audition for that came up. And I usually never even auditioned for TV shows because I don't like most of them, and when 30 Rock came around, I'm like, oh, it's in New York, oh, Tina Fey, cool, Alec Baldwin, cool, and so I'm like, all right, I'll go in for this, and after a process, you know, they gave it to me, and I said, you know, because this is 8 months out of the year, I can't change my look for this, I gotta look like I normally do, because I have a specific look as part of my stand-up persona, and they were cool with that, so, yeah.
Awesome.
Very cool. That was a long ramble.
I'm actually curious.
You guys can tell me to shut up whenever you want.
No.
Yeah. We definitely will.
We're going to rip into you any second now. I'm curious. You did American Splendor. That's kind of a comic book movie, but, you know, a little more of an indie comic book movie.
Yeah.
Is there sort of a mainstream...
Me and Giamatti did all our own stunts in that movie.
Did you?
Yeah. Emotional stunts. Wow, the crowd was really shocked by that.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. You know, it's true. Yeah.
Is there a superhero, if you could do any superhero in a movie or any comic book character or anything like that, is there one that you would do?
Well, when I was a kid, my favorite comic, this is going to like late 70s, my favorite comic was Nova.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was my favorite. So that would be cool to do Nova.
Yeah. Ooh,
nice.
Would you guys want to see... Judah as Nova?
Oh, I don't know if I'd be. I think it might be more fun.
Sort of,
I think it might be more fun to play like... one of the jock asshole dicks that would make fun of him at school, and then Nova would.
Oh, so you don't
want to
play Nova? So.
Yeah, it might be more fun.
Playing
the asshole is a lot of fun, man. Yeah. Playing the nice guy is usually pretty boring, you know.
So you'd be the guy that'd be like, "You'll never fly, idiot!" And,
then
flies through you later.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I'm writing a Nova movie, so that's it happens
later. Cool. Later, he waves at you from space.
Yeah,
which is.
But that you know, to me. Playing the creep or the weirdo, or it's usually more fun, you know.
Yeah.
But sometimes I've played the straight kind of he's got his shit together guy a few times, and that is fun too. But I'd rather play something kind of out there, you know.
All right, cool. Yeah. Well, we're going to cast you as that. Cool. Joe, let's turn it over to you and chat about some stuff. You have a lot of things going on right now. First one to talk about, Ultimate Spider-Man is premiering on Disney XD this Saturday, right?
Yeah, on April 1st, Maya.
Yeah,
April 1st.
That mic does sound a little low.
Nice.
Yeah, maybe
test.
Give
I've been emasculated
juice.
With a Bigfoot mic. Oh, there we go.
Yeah,
yeah, no, because mine was a little low at first.
Oh, we did have a Bigfoot set the level on that. So. He was like,
because I talk
what?
Low. So.
Talk into the silver rock.
Yeah, we've got Man of Action Studios, which is my company. We've been working with Marvel and Disney doing Ultimate Spider-Man. It comes out April 1st. And it's really great. And it's funny you mentioned Nova, because Nova's actually part of the cast of the show.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah, it's Spider-Man.
Didn't Nova disappear for years and then got kind of resurrected a little bit?
My big
first show at Thanos. Do it.
Huh? Thanos. No, whenever there's a continuity error, there's a huge sound fault. it's sort of recent. We just went into Comic Book Club Earth 2. So.
You just saved me from making up stories about Nova that weren't true.
Okay. Well, you were actually saying, we were talking about this a little bit upstairs, that Nova on the show is a little bit of a jerk, right?
Yeah, he's completely like the little brother that Spider-Man does not want to have.
Are we talking about the same Nova, the guy with the gold helmet?
Yeah.
All right, I'm just checking.
He did, no, but to your point, he vanished for a long time. He was sort of not
I mean,
super,
he was gone for like 20 years,
he was one of the new warriors for a long time, and then he came back very powerful and sort of like the Green Lantern of the Marvel Universe.
Yeah, because I like comics, but I really don't read them that much, partially because I'm a very unorganized person. I get so busy with just boring bullshit stuff and never doing.
So you will love
stuff.
The cartoon because you just got to watch it.
Okay,
it's even
cool.
better.
Yeah,
it's
yeah like easy. When I was a kid.
Oh, it was a great sales pitch you guys. Sick of comics? Try cartoons.
Yeah. You don't like to read? Watch TV.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm not against reading or anything, but, you know.
Too late.
Like you
too
are.
Late.
But as a kid, it's like, my mom would take me and my brother to the comic book store, and we both sit in the back seat of the car, and by the time I would get finished looking at the pictures, my brother already read the comic. I was a really slow reader, so I would kind of look at him, and then he would like explain him to me and tell me what happened.
Oh, that's very darling.
How long does it take to watch an episode of Ultimate Spider-Man?
22 minutes.
There you go.
Well, the plus commercials.
Now, how do you do the animation? I haven't seen it. How do you do the animation?
Very slowly.
Is it drawing? Is it computer?
It's a combination of like CG backgrounds and hand-drawn figures.
Yeah. There's really a really cool different style. It's sort of it seems like it's influenced by anime or manga a little bit.
Well, yeah, what we wanted to do is take the comedy of Spider-Man. Like, you know, what we love about Spidey is you get into his head, you know, like all his monologues and internal stuff. And he's funny. I mean, like, he's always been my favorite character, superhero, growing up. So
he's from Queens, right?
Huh?
He's from Queens, right?
Yes, indeed. Yeah, hometown hero.
Nailed it.
You know, it's like, in all the shows prior, the best you can do is one-liners behind a mask. I was like, wah, 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 you know. We wanted to take that comedy DNA and really animate it. So you're basically in Spidey's head. We break the fourth wall constantly. Like, you'll see, when he starts freaking out, he has fantasy sequences. So you're with Spider-Man during the whole time.
What
and
kind
then,
of fantasies, Larry?
How long does it
really
take
creepy
to do,
Boothman?
How long does it take to do an episode?
It takes almost a year, kind of. From
so
the
you
beginning
write it a
end.
Year before it actually goes on TV.
Yeah, we've been working for a while.
Wow, that's cool.
Those Lana Del Rey references are really going to be out of gas. I hope it's not.
I don't know if that reference goes well with these guys.
Lana Del Rey.
But that's actually good because you don't do a lot of references. That way, the stuff will repeat well and hold up years
that's
later.
That's
self-contained.
The goal. Yeah, totally.
The other thing that I think is interesting about the show is it's a mix of the Marvel movie universe at the same time with kind of an original cartoon universe. How do you balance those elements?
Well, it's been very cool. You know, we have Brian Bendis working with us, Paul Dini's working with us, Jeff Loeb as the head of Marvel TV, and we got all these big guns. And, you know, Brian kicked off the Ultimate Universe. So the spirit of the cartoon was anything goes. Like, it's not that universe, you know, it's not lifted directly from the comics, but it's really, you can do whatever you want. We can redefine characters, we can try new things. And then we take from what's working in the movies and we take from what's working in the comics and kind of mash it all up. Like, we've got Clark Gregg as Agent Coulson you know, so he's actually come in and voiced it. We've got J.K. Simmons, who plays Joan Jameson in all the Spidey movies. He's in it.
That's great. Do you have the Tobey Maguire song and dance from Venom?
Every episode.
Every episode.
No!
Smart.
Oh,
smart
no!
stuff. Because a lot of people are like, I don't like this. But deep down?
Deep
down.
Yeah,
they like it.
Hell yeah.
No, it's
goes right to your heart.
People love tangos. People love Sashu Shuffle.
It's basically a Bollywood type shit.
Yes. Yeah. Smart. Because that's the other thing people can't get off their minds is Bollywood.
I couldn't have said it better myself. You just nailed it.
Yep.
Good.
I'm happy to put it on the book jacket.
You've probably gotten this question a million times, but I got to ask, why isn't it Miles Morales? And for those of you guys watching and don't know about this, the current Ultimate Spider-Man is a character named Miles Morales, who's kind of very loosely based on Donald Glover a little bit. He was inspired by it. Yes, what?
I don't know about that.
Clarify yourself in a non-racist way.
That's why you said Donald Glover, which I think... Donald Glover is a comedian who's on Community, who...
Community is a show on television.
Yeah.
What's television?
That has a black actor.
Oh, television
on it.
Is a series of cathode ray tubes.
It's what you watch when you don't read. Comes back around.
Why are you clapping?
No.
So why not?
But it's not. Miles Morales is half Hispanic, half African American.
I'm gonna turn to Joe.
Oh, I see.
even though it's Ultimate Spider-Man in the title, it is Peter Parker Spider-Man. That was, you know, that's a Spidey that we all know and love and grew up with. So he's the touchstone for most people. I mean, Spider-Man's one of the most recognizable characters in the world, and people know him as Peter Parker. So that was
how
why
many
that decision
superheroes
was made.
Are from Queens? To me, it seems like the most loaded borough of
superhero heavy.
Superhero. I'm trying to think who else is from Queens. Who else do we got?
I don't know. You're the expert.
D-Man's homeless, so he goes wherever.
Yeah. Right.
There's a lot of guys in this tri-borough area, though.
Yeah.
It's a hub.
Yeah. New York should be pretty
safe. But I don't
know
if they grew up there. I mean, I know Spider-Man grew up there, but a lot of superheroes are just like, they came from wherever.
Yeah. They moved to New York to be a waiter until they made it in the superhero world.
We get the Thing from Brooklyn, right?
Yeah.
Well, he's from Yancey Street. Isn't that Lower East Side?
Lower East Side, right.
Yeah.
See, I'm already screwed. Where's the continuity?
Yeah.
let's talk about Justice League versus the Elite, which is coming out in June. This Superman versus the Elite. This is an animated movie. It's based on a story that you wrote a couple of years ago for Action Comics. What was that process like, taking a story you wrote for a comic book and then turning it into a full-length animated movie?
It was awesome. I mean, DC, you know, they've been doing these direct-to-video films, animated films, and they were wondering what they want to do next. And one of the guys at DC said, how about, you know, what's so funny about Truth, Justice, and the American Way? And we have a guy who happens to work in animation. You know, they knew Man of Action had created Ben 10, Generator X, and I was involved in all that kind of stuff. So I got to write it as well as, you know, write the original story, which was huge. Also working with Alan Burnett, which, if you guys don't know, he's like an animation god. He's super cool. So it was a really good experience, because most of them have been like, let's take 12 issues and cram them into 70 minutes. So this is just a one-off story. Like, is Superman relevant today? Was the thing. So really the process was just taking it a little bit out of the sort of inside baseball of just you need to read a lot of comics and putting in a world stage. So it's Superman having to deal with kind of, you know, real current stuff. Like basically...
Lana Del Rey.
A lot of... Big
is that my forcing that reference?
Yeah. Yeah, keep going.
It's, you know, basically Superman and the Elite getting involved in international conflicts, and do they belong there? It came out great. I'm honestly, seriously, super pleased. We showed it at WonderCon, and it was funny that you mentioned Justice League, because we did this Q&A afterwards, and this like 8-year-old kid just comes up to the mic and he goes, "How come Superman never called the Justice League to kick these guys' butts?" And, you know, I was like, oh, their cell phones are off or they're on the moon or whatever. I'm just trying to make jokes. And then,
shut up, kid.
Yeah. And then I said, no, the truth is...
How come Superman didn't call his friends?
It was you.
Yeah, it was me. I can do a good child impression.
Whoa, easy.
Yeah. Whoa. Now, that's topical.
You paused too much before you said impression.
You're right. I did take a full minute. They'll fix it in editing. Yeah.
But I said to him, you know, we had to just keep them separate. The Justice League had to be their own thing. There actually was a line about it, but we had to keep it separate. And the camera went back to him, and he just went like this, ugh, as he walked away.
He's
completely
jaded.
Shattered.
Oh, he's
going to
be an editor someday.
Yeah, there.
But speaking of shattered dreams, you do have good news that the Four Eyes is going to be continuing, and also Bad Dog.
I'm so glad you drag me through the broken glass every time I see you.
Yeah.
These are my creator-owned books that we put out through Image, Man of Action.
Which are amazing. That's why I always bring them up.
Yeah, Bad Dog and Four Eyes. I'm actually writing issue 6. 5 is in the can for Four Eyes. 5 is half done on Bad Dog. So they are coming, but anybody who's been reading them, thank you for your patience, I promise. I learned the lesson the hard way of soliciting before something was done.
Yeah.
And you get the dead cat's nail to your door. It's not a good thing. So
that's also now, Pete, by the way.
We're very interactive with the people who come on the show.
Yeah.
I have a question. Is everyone cool enough? Because this air conditioning just kicked in pretty hard.
Very.
Yeah, you guys doing okay?
Are you guys good? Or do you need it on or off?
I requested my beer be kept at a perfect temperature throughout the show.
That's serious.
So we'll see if we get there. Yeah,
let's see what happens. Guys, we're going to see what happens next because we're going to move on with our next section, which we like to call The Stack.
Yay!
Yeah! Right. Now, here's the deal with The Stack. We have each made a pick, some comic book that we particularly like this week, and we're going to go to bat for it. So we're going to do Pete's pick first, which was Deadpool number 52.
Yeah!
Pass it over to you guys. Pete, why'd you like this book?
All right, well, what I really like about Deadpool right now is instead of it just being like Deadpool's super crazy, it's also kind of dealing with this idea of, like, what if he's making moves? What if he's, like...
making moves.
Yeah, he's like, all right,
I just
guys.
Want to specify, can I just interrupt? That is not the plot at all.
I think it's there. It's underneath what's going on.
Let's see if he defines moves.
Okay. Yeah. I just feel like this cool idea of, like, is Deadpool smarter than he's putting on? Is he using the X-Men like pawns to try to accomplish his goals?
Okay, it does happen.
He does make moves. I apologize.
Yeah. Thank you. He's making moves.
Wow.
I think it's...
First show in new location. Point Pete. Advantage LePage.
Hey, yeah. Pete. Good job.
Thank you.
Yeah. It's given to Pete LePage. That's his only point. He only earned 1 point at our old venue, and he's only got one here.
For five years.
Amazing.
He comes out strong. Let's just say that.
Yeah, but
Pete's making moves.
I think it's really a fun take on Deadpool as well as keeping what we know and love about him.
Deadpool's trying to kill himself is the sort of ongoing plot.
We all are. Really.
It's for kids. Yeah. It's for children.
Yeah.
It's everybody. He's sick of his life. He's lived for eight long years.
Yep.
And he's ready to...
He's 8 years old.
He's 8 years old.
This is a story about an eight-year-old trying to kill himself. You decide if you want to read it.
It's called it's the Hunger Games, essentially, Junior.
Did you like this book?
I did like it. I'm not a regular Deadpool reader, and I thought it was actually really good. It's really
smart.
Welcome
to the dark side, buddy.
It's very brief.
Yep.
Yes, well, that's comic books.
Keep reading. There are more pages after.
I know, but I'm already getting through it kind of quick here. Yeah. So this is...
If it was back in the day and you're riding a car with your brother, you'd be done.
Looks like your reading's improving, which is good.
I think it's improved since I was a kid.
Yeah,
it's actually gotten better.
That should be true of a lot of things.
I also like this book a lot. This is a very intricate, tricksy storyline that he's building where Deadpool is manipulating a ton of people at the same time in order to get this goal of trying to kill himself. It's obviously not going to turn out the way he wants it to.
What?
I'm really curious to see what happens.
No,
I'm curious
to hear from you, at the end of this.
Joe, what you think about Deadpool in general right now and this Deadpool storyline, since obviously you have a long history with the character.
Yeah, I mean, Deadpool's like
a
cornerstone of my career. My bromance.
You're a brony for Deadpool.
With an eight-year-old.
I'm a Breadpool. I know. It's funny. I was actually in the story the other day.
What are you doing?
Yeah, it's too late, right?
No, I'm saying slit all of their throats.
Is there a lot of, when making a comic book, is there like on a page like this, is there a lot of, do people get into arguments as far as the layout and how it goes? I mean, do some people say there should be 4 panels down here or maybe 3 panels up here and a big one down here? I mean, are there really, people really get into it and people get into fights and stuff like that?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You have to arm wrestle for every layout.
It does. You do, right. Okay. It gets heated, right? I would imagine it would.
Yeah. So,
how many people are involved? How many people are calling the shots on a comic like this?
A lot. I mean, if you look at the first page, there's a ton.
Right, but how many of them are really have the decision to fight for it? Do all of them? Or?
What do you say, like three? Like writer,
yeah,
artist,
like about four
editor?
Or five. Yeah, it's writer, artist, editor, the editor in chief. Those are the
so you kind of
guys.
Have three creators, coaches, generals, kind of.
Yeah.
Like any good army,
Ever sometimes you're friends with somebody and then you work on a comic and you have a creative difference and you kind of almost or lose a friendship because you disagree so much? Has that ever happened?
Sure.
Okay, cool.
Tell us about it.
No.
Not names.
I would imagine it might just because it's, you know,
If you're working on it, it's coming from the heart, and then, you know, two different people. Because I know, like, when you act on things, sometimes...
Everybody agrees on it.
Well, sometimes you have to do things and act things not the way you want to, and it sucks, but...
Comics are not like that at all. That's the way it is. Well,
Where stand-up is like, you do whatever you want. You're the boss. You do everything you want, you know?
Yeah. So there used to be six hosts of this show, and we had to kill off the other three Pete LePages.
Yeah. they had to get their one point.
Yeah, exactly.
So, Joe, Deadpool, thoughts on Deadpool right now?
I actually... saw this book in the store the other day and picked it up because of that cover.
Great cover.
The Deadpool death romance was something I always loved, and it's just I was like, oh, they're really going to finally do it. We're going to finally get to see, you know, Deadpool hook up with Death. That's, you know, one of those nasty
things. Is that
the
way it's going to go?
That's what I'm hoping.
Is that what Death is like? How do you know this?
I'm hoping for some nasty necro action for Deadpool if we can get to the next part there.
I like the way you really snuck into that phrase just there.
Do you think he's going to get boned?
No, don't do that.
Is that someone should play?
Well, that's not what a boner is, real quick, just so you know.
I don't know, that's what it's like for me.
Just a rigid female.
I probably should have said that at the beginning of the show for most embarrassing thing.
Yeah. Yep. It's all right.
Clearly.
You found your way to it, though, so that's good.
Yeah, that's great. Let's go on with your pick, which is Batman number 7 from DC Comics. Justin, you want to talk about this book?
Sure. Batman has been getting his ass kicked for like 3 issues by these dudes, like these owls.
Yeah.
Like with humans with owl masks.
From Ga'Hoole?
The owls of Ga'Hoole have teamed up and they've left the island. And they're here to...
You know this movie.
All right. Yes. It's fine. It's a fine movie. It's touching. Their eyes look very human. No? Okay.
In Batman, though.
Really, in Batman, right. They don't look human, their eyes. So in this, Batman's discovering this huge conspiracy. The Court of Owls has been, like, running shit in Gotham City. He's like, I used to swing through the city and be like, oh, I have this great feeling about the city. And turns out he's like, nope, they were all trying to kill me the whole time. And then at one point, Nightwing comes down. Nightwing's like, what are you doing, Batman? And Batman just turns and kicks him in the face. And this one little tooth comes out, and in it, it's the little insignia of the Court of Owls. So Batman's like a fucking foot dentist. Because he can kick one tooth out of his buddy's mouth.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. That blew my mind. I couldn't play that scene.
I don't know how you do that. I kind of want to
learn specific.
How to do it.
I'll show you.
Well, you go to foot dentistry school. Huh?
Foot action?
Yeah. Pete, what did you think about this book?
Scott Snyder is doing an amazing job on this book. It continues to be one of my favorite Batman runs. And it's just... I have no idea what's going to happen in each issue, and it's always exciting, and it blows me away. I can't believe. And then when Batman was a dick to him, I was like, oh, come on. And then when he shows him the tooth, I was like, oh, that was the only way that could have worked.
Yeah.
Showing somebody a tooth, and you're like, great point. We're friends.
We're friends again.
Well, yeah, maybe he just did it to be a dick, and he was like, oh, there's a thing in your tooth. It's fine. We're friends.
It's fine. Thanks, Batman. Thanks for kicking my tooth out.
Yeah.
I really like this book a lot. One thing that I will say for everybody, if you haven't been reading comics regularly like you haven't, Judy, you can pick up Batman right now and get right into it.
It's very easy to jump right in.
It's really good dialogue,
and I kind of like that. Because even though I'm a slow reader, I do like words, you know, because I do write, you know, so I'm into words.
Yeah, this visuals. Is a great book. Have you been reading Batman at all, Joe?
No, but, you know, I met Scott recently, and he was so, like, nice and timid, and all I hear about is how nasty and evil the books are. And I'm just like, the Jekyll and Hyde of this guy has really got me intrigued. So, you know, Batman's one that I really want to check out.
He will turn on you.
This comic book, I think, also has more interesting advertisements in it.
Yeah.
Which true. I always like, you know, because I have ADD and I digress a lot.
That's for the Kubert School, and what they do is they teach you how to fall off of Mount Rushmore.
Yeah. With a
That's
girl.
How you become a comic book artist, I guess.
Yeah, it's like the end of the movie, The Game, and they catch you, and you're like, here's your title you're writing right now.
Do people actually go to comic book schools?
Yeah, that's actually a great school. If you have any interest in being an artist, the Kubert School is a great place.
And what do they teach you there? Like, did you go to comic book school?
It's like that school where you draw like a circle and then another circle and then you turn a turtle.
Yeah.
It's that school, but like times a million.
Yeah. Cool.
I hope the Cuber School isn't listening.
Do you recommend
please it's deeply insulting.
People go to comic book schools?
No, that's for art in general.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, on the writing side, I went to NYU, and I actually got hooked up by guys at Marvel.
All right, NYU.
I got guys at Marvel editors who wanted to try to find new writing talent. They came looking for us. So.
They came to the school?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
And we started a project called the Sanhattan Project, and I was the first guy out of that, and a guy, little-known writer named Brian K. Vaughan, you guys might have heard him.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Came right after me, so it, you know, did pretty well.
So what was that like starting out? Was that, I mean, had you already been writing your own comics, or?
No, I was actually in school for screenwriting.
Screenwriting.
Yeah, I did some stuff when I was younger, but, you know, it's a visual
and you found
medium.
Out they were coming in.
Oh, and
then you're
like, quick, fix it, make it a comic.
So what did you do? Did you like submit writings for like comics that already existed for storylines, or did you come up with your own, or how did that work?
The way they took us through it was we worked on books that already existed, and then when I actually taught the class there for a little while, that's what we do because it's an easy reference point for everybody.
What class was it?
Writing for comics.
Oh, really?
Nice.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So not school. A very inventive title.
So,
clear.
So
and to the
school
point.
Can work, is what you're saying.
Yeah, it can.
Stay in school, you guys.
Because they
right,
do.
Move on with my
they
pick.
Do teach stand-up comedy classes, but in general, I think that's the stupidest thing in the
no,
world.
That's a fake.
I
that's
hope your
scam.
Students are down.
You know, it's
right
like
now.
You don't take a class on how to ride a bike. You just get on it, and you fall off, and then you get back on, and you kind of figure it out. So.
Seriously.
Yeah, you should.
I want my $300.
Well, I know you've been taking that online course how to ride a bike
at Arizona State.
Super expensive. Yeah,
you actually had the audio cassette tapes that you listened to teach you how to ride a bike.
Step one: get on a bike.
Yeah,
that's the entire tape.
Yeah,
for like 3 hours.
Yeah.
It's terrible. All right, let's move on with my pick, which is the Goon number 38 from Dark Horse Comics. Very briefly, because we're going to have to move on, I think, quickly from this. But this is a fantastic comic. If you're not picking it up, Eric Powell does the writing and the art here. What I think is so unique about this book that he's been doing for the past couple of issues is it's ostensibly a horror comic, but last issue he did a whole thing about social change and the 99% movement's been set during the Depression era with monsters. This issue he's giving us a little bit of a backstory about the woman who raised the goon, but what it's really about is his own grandmother who recently passed away, and he puts a lot of wonderful humanity in there at the same time as it seems like this terrible, terrifying horror story the entire time before it eventually ends up someplace really, really beautiful.
There's this great moment where the character in here is she's a super strong woman. I mean, not superhumanly strong. She's just very strong. And she gets a job at a circus as a strong woman. And the ringmaster's like, you'll be a strong woman. And there's a guy behind him, like an old strong man who's very wimpy and a giant mustache. And he's like, but I'm just hitting my prime. And then they move on. Yeah. It's
Kizzy the Iron Maiden.
Yeah.
It's a great book. Definitely
I like this
it
a lot.
Yeah, it's really good.
Awesome. Definitely
drawings.
Pick up the Goon. And that's it for the stack.
Yeah.
All right, guys, we're going to move on with our next section, which is my favorite section because you guys make it up. It's your audience questions. And for that, we're going to go over to Booth Man.
Booth Man. The Green Lantern from the planet Booth.
Yes. I'm done with this.
Aww.
Wow, classic Hal Jordan.
Ah, the light.
The light.
Yeah. I don't know why I'm pulling out my phone.
Oh, nice.
So we got some cool-ass questions, you guys.
Nice.
Awesome.
Ass questions.
Cool-ass questions. All right, first one up. What's the best TV show, animated or live action, based on a comic?
Ooh, good.
Well, none of them, right?
Well, the Generation X movie from anybody? No. Yeah.
Well, what do you think? Joe, you worked on a bunch of them. Do you have any opinion just in general of animated or live action superhero TV show?
While you're thinking, a couple of years back, I liked Lois and Clark.
Yeah.
New Adventures of Superman. The literal gentle. Just a love story. That's what the core of Superman is.
I do remember there was who's the guy who played Lex Luthor? What was his name? Actor?
Dean
no idea.
Cain.
Oh, the
Dean
actor?
Cain played everyone.
Yeah, Dean Cain. He played Lois Ed Clark. I remember that.
Yeah.
The guy who played Lex Luthor, I remember there was an episode where he had like a model of Metropolis and he had a little action figure of Superman and he was flying it through Metropolis going da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I was like, that's cool.
Because that reminds you of your Dungeons and Dragons days.
So you pick Lois and Clark over like Superman 2 with Christopher Reeve?
No, TV show.
TV show. But that has aired on television.
I thought you said movies weren't TV.
Yeah.
But I would. Yeah, I would do that.
Really? I would choose the old Flash TV show, the live action show.
Wow.
Is that a boo?
I was going to actually
say
that. That was kind of a good show.
Great show. The pilot of that is very, very good.
If we're going with animated, too, something like Justice League Unlimited or Batman the Animated Series?
Yeah.
Batman the Animated Series.
Batman the Animated Series is very good.
Batman.
Easy answer.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Judah, do you have any that you ever watched?
I like the old Superman that was black and white with Steve Reeves,
where they would throw the gun at him.
He sort of had muscles, you know? It's just like Superman just really looked like he just dressed differently than everyone else. Didn't really look like he had amazing powers, but he had good posture. You know,
and he was like
pretty
old.
Crimes with posture.
He was very old.
A young guy.
He fought with Grizzle.
I used to watch that and Super Friends. I don't know if that's sort of
Super Friends.
That was amazing. Yeah. And
Young Justice is very good. Right now.
Is it?
Been watching that.
Yeah. If we're going back into the bin, I'll take The Incredible Hulk.
With
Bill Bixby and Lou Ferrigno.
They
were different guys?
Yeah. That was created by Kenneth Johnson, who also created the Bionic Woman and V, the original miniseries.
Wow. That's cool. Yeah. All right, good
pedigree there. I got you on that. With you on that.
Guys, if you ask that question, you can come up, get some free comics from Boothman, and Boothman, ask the next question.
Yeah.
Can Judah Friedlander beat up Spider-Man?
Oh, that's a challenge, my friend.
Definitely. I live in Queens, too, so.
You've been staking out his apartment?
I know where he lives, dude. I've seen him train in his little backyard, and he's got nothing, dude. He's got weak. He's weak, you know. Without that little web shit, he's got nothing, man.
Do you have a strategy to take him down?
Any thoughts?
A lot like Doc Ock has his way.
You can marry his aunt.
Yeah.
Make it good, because I'm going to put it in an episode.
When he's asleep, steal his Spider-Man costume.
Naked dude is easy to
beat. He'll be afraid to do anything, and he won't want to give up his identity, and then you just kick the shit out of him.
Here's the thing. What if you go to steal his costume, he's already wearing your hat?
No, you can't take this off. It's like King Arthur's sword, man. It only fits like one person.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. All right, there we go. Raise your hand if you ask that. You're going to come up, get some free comics. Boothman, let's get the next question.
Holy shit. How'd you manage to get that sweet backdrop? And... when are Justin and Pete going to fight on stage again?
Oh, great. Obviously a fan from a recent episode where Pete and I fought on stage.
We got the backdrop from the wonderful people who are producing this show from Broadway Video.
Give them a round of applause. This is wonderful.
It's got a nice texture quality.
It's great.
Thank
you. I would love to be draped in this.
It's actually velour.
It's really nice.
It looks like velvet. You sure it's not velvet?
Yeah, what is velvet?
Velvet tapestry. we had a silkworm.
And when are you guys going to fight again?
Well, we fight after every show
and before.
Yeah, we film that for a separate show.
Yeah,
you got to put a couple more Pabst Blue Ribbons in them, then it's all
that's
wrong.
True.
Yeah, so basically, I get real outside after the show, head out, and you'll see it happen.
This furniture's so nice, I don't want to damage it by hitting Pete's face against it.
You would be worried about the furniture, you pansy.
You might need this.
Oh, okay.
You might need this.
Yeah, if you guys could read through this.
Hang on.
I have a chapter on.
He did it.
See, you got to think outside the box, Pete. You got to think outside the box.
That book weighs 75 pounds.
I know. You printed it on metal. That's very expensive.
All right, if you ask that, go up to Boothman. You're going to get some free comics. Let's get the next question.
All right, last question. Why are comics considered a lower art form than fine art and poetry when they're a combination of both?
I love that question.
Hell yeah.
Fantastic question.
Hell yeah.
Whoever says that
I agree with
insane.
That person where it's totally underappreciated. Yeah. It's,
well,
yeah,
if you, absolutely. I mean, I don't know if you know, but we had a rival show when we started this called Museum Club. And
fuck
they ain't
guys.
Got shit right now. Yeah. They're doing a show in an hour.
Yeah.
Dumbasses.
Yeah, they just fight all the time.
But why do you guys think? Why are comics considered a lower art form than pretty much anything else?
Well, because they started as like a very common art form, and only recently has it become like people are like, oh, we should make movies out of this stuff.
Yeah.
Remember like the
it's
great Mona Lisa movie
now.
in development for years.
Yeah. Well, it's like hamburgers. People used to be like, hey, you can get hamburgers anywhere, and now it's like, hamburgers.
People have gone.
You can fill in the blanks.
I actually don't know the difference.
I don't think that's the best analogy. I think there's a lot more to comics than hamburgers.
No,
this city's infatuation with amazing hamburgers, I think people just have never had a fucking good hamburger before because you go to Five Guys or Shake Shack and these places, if you just buy some meat at the fucking store and put it on a grill, it'll taste just as good. They're really not that special.
That's unless the same you just thing grew up eating comic books.
No, but
you make your own comic books.
No, dude, I agree. Well, there's more to it, but
yeah,
it's almost a good analogy, but it doesn't quite fit, dude. Because
yeah. No, I'll keep working.
Don't let
on
him
it
fool you by kissing yeah his hand. Like that was a shitty yeah analogy. Yeah.
I don't know,
but
time will tell. You
but
know,
there's
we
a lot
think
of
it's
things
a shitty
like
analogy
that, yeah
now, but later on, it's going to be a
right
really good analogy.
Oh, nice.
Comics have so much in it, and you're right. But do you think the respect is more than it used to be? It seems like it.
Yeah,
definitely. But I think I mean, can you imagine anyone who...
Well, comedy's like, the same way. It's
yeah
like...
Yeah.
And certainly stand-up comedy. Everyone always says stand-up comedy is the hardest thing to do, yet no one reviews stand-up comedy. I mean, now there's like maybe three websites that review it just here and there, but nobody fucking reviews it, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, as far as live performance goes, you can have someone who plays the flute that nobody's ever heard of them, and they'll get every newspaper will write them up if they're performing somewhere. But
wait, what newspapers are you reading? What's
New
in flute
Times
news
or whatever? But you know, it's like, yeah, but they're starting to sort of review stand-up comedy now, and at least in this country. In other countries, they review it more. But you know, I don't know. So it seems like a similar kind of thing. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think it's just always been looked down at as an art form for kids, unfortunately.
Right.
And yeah. Same with animation. And then
so
luckily,
critics hate kids. Maybe
yeah,
that's
basically. Yeah. 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 And then luckily, like though, people who are who like us grew up on comics are now kind of in the zone of media and pimping it out to everybody. So we're actually starting to get a level of awareness that we didn't
yeah
have before.
As we grow closer right to our deaths, maybe yeah it'll be more popular.
Then yeah, we'll be wrapped in comic book coffins
yeah
and it'll
oh,
be
oh, hell yeah. I already awesome made mine.
Man. Yeah, the last thing I want to hear is, by the way, comics are popular now. And I'll be like,
But you know.
But then you'll you get to be death continued put on your headstone.
Oh. And then
oh,
I get
cool
rebooted
the
as
lack
a younger,
of,
grayer
the lack
me
of critical praise might be good, though. That might make you work harder to try to make things
no
better.
Really sucks.
Oh. All right. If you ask that, go see Boothman, and that's it for your audience questions.
Yeah, real quick. I don't know if you want to give out something for your favorite question.
Oh,
what
yeah
was your favorite
oh
question?
He's got, he's got it. Boothman's got
no,
it over there.
Boothman's got
oh
it.
Okay. No, yeah, I had a... well, they were all pretty good, so maybe we should have the three people fight for it.
Yeah!
You know, some in show business, people always talk about all the free swag you get at great events, and I don't really get the greatest stuff, and I got this about 5 years ago. It's shower gel from Usher. I've been trying to give this away for 5 years. I've been trying to give people money to take it, and nobody yeah will even take it.
How do you not want
people this? Don't even won't even take it as a joke. They're like, no, I do not want that.
Well, I got to wonder, is it just like a bottle of like
urine? It's unopened. I don't know
it
what
actually,
it looks
it
like.
It has
mystery
Usher's urine in it. Essence yeah of oh Usher.
I mean, I'm a pack rat, so I'm trying to like get rid of some things, so...
And this is where you started. Is that? Yeah.
This what, is my first
right
night
at the top of the pile.
So first,
I like to take my time.
Question.
Yeah, exactly.
Getting rid of things. So the last question was a pretty good one.
It was.
All right. So like, whoever
who asked that,
lowbrow.
Ask the last question. You're going to get
pass
some Usher shower gel.
Nice.
All right,
so,
guys.
Also,
thank
please
you
don't use that on your
thank
body.
You.
Yeah, don't.
If at all possible.
It's acid.
Poison.
It's basically acid. All right, guys. We're going to move on with our next section, which we like to call the Week in Geek. A couple of things we're going to hit you with pretty quickly for the world of pop culture and geek culture. First thing was announced today that Soundgarden, for the first time in years, is doing a song on the Avengers soundtrack.
I bet it's going to be
for that?
Spoon Man with Spider replacing the word spoon. Come together with
you. You don't think it's going to be Black Widow's Son or something like
oh
that?
Oh, interesting. Here's the thing. I don't think many people could name many more songs myself than those two.
Well, they will be able to now. Yeah. All right, next thing we're going to talk about, we actually talked about this last week on our live show, and Pete freaked the F out. Don't know if you guys heard, but Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles is being made into a movie. Michael Bay is making it. However, he has said that they are aliens.
Right.
That caused Pete's first freak out. Second freak out, he announced that the title of the movie is going to be Ninja Turtles, and then people are like, what? They're not going to be teenagers either?
Yeah.
Turns out they are going to be teenagers. They are going to be aliens, but it is going to be called Ninja Turtles. And Michael Bay basically said, everybody calm the F down. Pete, are you going to calm the F down about
no,
this?
No, Michael Bay, I won't.
That's not Michael Bay, Pete.
No, I told him I was Michael Bay.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, all right. I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have done
last
that.
Thing, Marvel Comics has been teasing a title for a while that's coming out in June. We should find out exactly what it is in a while, but this ties into what we were talking about before. It's a comic called Spider-Men Number 1 by Brian Bendis and Sarah Pacelli, and the teaser here is they've shown a picture of Spider-Man, regular style Spider-Man, and it seems to be that Miles Morales, who's from the Ultimate Universe, is going to be in the book as well, and they're going to be crossing over. So what do you guys think? So I'm curious to hear from you, Joe. Do you want to see Miles Morales meet up with Peter Parker, Spider-Man?
Yeah, of course. I mean, it's the kind of thing that, you know, comics are made for. You know,
they have a lot
bring
to talk
universes
about.
Together and crash it all up and, you know, have fun. I mean, that's if you're going to call a book Spider-Man,
yeah.
That's the book you're going
to. There better be more than one Spider-Man in it.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
They'd have a lot to talk about. I think he'd be Peter Parker would be like, "You're based on Donald Glover, right?" And he'd be like, "Well,"
he would be like, "You're a racist."
Yeah.
He would be like, "Is that the only black person you know, Alex Zalbin?"
And that's it for the week of Geek.
Great end. Great end.
Yeah, there we go. Guys, we're going to move on with our next section, which is trivia. And for that, we're going to turn it over to Peter LePage.
Mr. Right. Peter LePage.
Guys, this is where we give back to you, the lovely audience. Thank you so much for showing up. We really appreciate it. It's an opportunity to win $25 free to Midtown Comics in the form of a gift card.
Oh.
All right, we're not, you know. Someone might
still
hurt me
good.
For $25. Yeah, but still $25 for comics, which everybody loves. Who would like an opportunity to win $25 free? Yes, you in the back, sir. Come on up to win $25 free. All right, yeah, it's not a long show. Hurry up, get up here. Come on, here we go.
Hey, Pete, calm down.
Your coat tucked like a gentleman under your arm. Yeah, it's very nice. Hey,
all right.
Hold on. Okay. We'll do that.
What is your name, sir?
Larry.
Larry, audience Larry.
Hi, Larry.
Yeah. Larry, put the mic up to your mouth so people
that
can hear you.
That probably helps.
Oh, yeah, there
so
you go.
So demanding.
All right,
Jesus.
So today's trivia is on Ultimate Spider-Man, the new cartoon series that's coming out that we're all excited about. Not Spider-Men, but Spider-Man. Okay, here we go. How this is going to work is I'm going to read you a question. You listen to all three possible answers. Go 3 for 3, and you will win a gift card.
Okay, hang on.
Yeah, there you go. Little courage juice. Nice job. All right. Question number one. Here we go. Use the music. It helps. Okay. Spidey has a big visitor in the first episode. Is it A, Nick Fury, B, the Green Goblin, or C, Sergeant Slaughter? It's going to be either A or it's going to be B. It's definitely not C.
A, Nick Fury.
Yes, Nick Fury is correct. All right, question number two. Don't get cocky. Here we go. There have been teasers that Spidey might upgrade his blank. Is it A, costume, B, web tech, or C, he would upgrade to Banter 2.0? So it is either A or it's B.
B.
B is correct.
Woo!
Nice job, Larry. All right, here we go.
All right.
Yeah, all right, don't come on. We've still got one more
I'm
to go.
I'm just excited, Jesus.
All right, here we go. There's also teasers of team-ups happening. One of the people on the team-ups is it A, Iron Fist, B, Stiltman, or C, Mephisto?
Fingers crossed.
Is it A, Iron Fist?
Iron Fist, this one I saw.
All right, congratulations. $25 free in
nice
the
job.
Form of a gift card. Congratulations.
All right, Larry. Oh, awesome.
There are teasers of team-ups.
Oh, fantastic.
Teasers of team-ups.
Pete, I think we need to upgrade you to Banter 2.0.
Yeah. Slam.
Oh, sorry. Guys, as
Apple.
We all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. Pete, what are you looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to Aquaman number 7.
Oh.
This has been amazing. Since the reboot, I've been really enjoying Aquaman.
What about him? Just his underwater stuff?
That's the thing. He really hasn't been underwater that much.
Oh, so you like him up above the old sea level.
Yeah.
What's your problem with the sea?
I hate it.
All right.
Okay. I'm looking forward to Avengers versus X-Men number 0, kicking off this huge event that has been rumored to really change Marvel Comics.
You're looking forward to a 0 issue.
Huh? Yeah, because that's where things start.
Really?
Yeah.
I think it's like a bunch of crap that doesn't matter, and then they're like, hey, the first issue's coming
out. Which one do you like? 2?
Yeah, 2's
always. Is that why you never know what's going on?
Cool. I'm looking forward to Star Trek number 7 from IDW is coming out.
Hold on.
I've actually read the issue already. And
I hear they're developing it into a huge decade-spanning series.
Well, here's the thing that's kind of cool about it. The thing about the series is they've been adapting – this is real nerdy, you guys – but they've been adapting the old original series Star Trek episodes with the new crew from the movie. And I've been okay with the first couple of issues, but this issue is a direct sequel to the movie. So if you've been jonesing for Star Trek 2, this provides it in spades, and it's a ton of fun. So I definitely recommend picking it up. Judah, what are you looking forward to?
Well, you showed me a cheat sheet, and one of them was not a comic book. It was the new Fangoria magazine.
Yeah, oh, that nice, counts.
Yeah.
It's in the world.
It does? It's not a comic book.
Yeah, but it's a thing that's coming out in comic book shops.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Anything that enters a comic book shop.
I, you know, kind of grew up on Fangoria and this other little magazine called Cinemagic.
Yeah,
because I used to do my own, like, special effects and claymation and drawing animation when I was a kid.
So. Oh, wow. Do you still have any of those old?
Yeah. Yeah, I do. I have them on Super. I shot them on Super 8 foam.
Oh, that's awesome. So cool.
Yeah. I did all kinds of, alien creatures and stuff like that. I do it in the backyard and have all these alien creatures and stuff.
Can you put one of them online? Can we get
I will, actually.
That would be
just
for us. Awesome.
I will.
Yeah, just for us.
No, because I did a episode of Jimmy Fallon show a few months ago, and I actually showed about 30 seconds of footage of my claymation from when I was about, 13 or 14.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So I would really say cool. I would pick the Fangoria.
All right. And anything you want to plug? Your book, obviously.
Oh, yeah. My book it's a real book. And it's now on paperback. I did it all by myself.
Heavy.
And
heavy.
It's suitable.
It
tons of photos, drawings, and all kinds of things. It's on. I would go to Amazon and get it because bookstores are afraid to sell it. It's too dangerous. It's new. It's like $12 on Amazon, and it's all color. It's all words and photos. And can I announce?
Yeah, do you want to show
your announcement? I'm doing the most comprehensive Midwest stand-up tour ever.
Really?
And tonight, for the first time, I want to reveal the poster.
Oh, whoa, nice. Big reveal. Oh, there's nothing on that poster.
Yeah. No, this is the backside of it. I'm about to do the reveal.
It's been about 10 years in the making, this poster.
Wow.
And
it's the Spring 2012 Midwest Stand-Up Comedy Mega Tour, and it's Minneapolis, April 10th, Chicago, April 11th, Ann Arbor, April 12th, Lansing, Michigan, April 13th. Sorry, Indiana didn't make the cut.
Wow.
But this who's that on the poster?
That's supposed to be me.
It's a Sasquatch,
right?
Yeah,
that's me. That looks just like me.
Yeah. Well, we can go on the road together, man.
Fuck you guys!
Yeah. Right. So I want to announce those dates. Those are on my website.
Very cool.
Mega tour.
Joe, what are you looking forward to tomorrow?
I just saw a book listed in there. It was kind of like a redo of Josie and the Pussycats. It was Judah and the Bigfoots. I thought it was going to be really special.
Yeah. I like that.
Yeah. We'll get you into comics.
I like Josie and the Pussycats.
Crossover.
You know what? Anything from Image, man. I'm just digging everything they're doing. They're making such a big push this year.
Yeah, and a lot of good stuff. You know, Infinite Vacation last week, also awesome. Very good.
Yeah, Saga, with Brian Vaughn again. And,
Saga was amazing.
Yeah, Saga was fantastic, and Mondo, and, a big Ted McKeever fan. So just anything that those guys are putting out, that's what I want to get.
Yeah, and plug your stuff. What should people check out?
Ultimate Spider-Man comes on April 1st. It would be on Disney XD.
XD.
We're doing a signing and a preview at Midtown Comics on Saturday morning. So if anybody's around, come on down.
I'll
be there. Yep, on the 31st with myself. Joe Quesada will be there. A whole bunch of people. I believe Spidey himself might even be showing up.
What?
It's true.
Steal his costume. That's your chance.
I do not want any trouble.
I'm in Chicago that day.
Or are you?
I am.
Or are you?
That's why he planned it that way.
Yeah.
He knew I'd be out of town.
Spidey's lucky.
Judah Free New York that weekend. So you can play it cool.
All right, a couple of things before we go. Next week on the show, we're going to have Kurt Metzger and Devin Clark from the show Ugly Americans on Comedy Central.
Yeah, very excited.
So that should be pretty awesome.
Very awesome.
Also, you can check us out on the brand new Nerdist channel, youtube.com/Nerdist, where we're going to have this very live show. Also, you can check us out on Nerdist.com for the audio podcast, comicbookclublive.com. Pete, anything else you want to plug?
Friend us on Facebook so you get to hear about all the amazing guests we have on the show.
Yeah, and also Twitter, Comic Book Live. live. Boothman over there has been live tweeting the whole show, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah, I've just been saying, like, shut up, shut up, shut up, shut up the whole time.
Okay, you're not allowed to do that next week, then.
Yeah.
All right, a couple of people we want to thank before we go. We want to thank Judah for being on the show. Nice. Joe. Boothman. Everybody at Pianos, everybody at Broadway Video, also Midtown Comics for providing the comics that you guys are sitting
everyone
on right
nerdist.
Now. But most of all, we want to thank you guys. We're every Tuesday night at 7:30 at Pianos.
Come on down.
Please tell your friends. Good night.